Brian and I were getting ready this morning and got into the car and got about half a mile down the road in the rain and realized we were riding on a rim. We'd run over something and the tire had gotten flat, and so we pull over to the side of the road and Brian and I look at each other and say, "Do you know how to change a tire?" "No." "Do you know how to change a tire?" "No." So we get out in the rain and Brian's holding this little dinky umbrella over my head as I'm trying to figure out how to crank the jack, and then Andy Schmitz swoops in like a hero and he changes the tire for us. So I'm supposed to be preaching on how to be men in our homes, and I've been sufficiently emasculated today in order to preach. Brian was looking at me and he says, "You know, Sunday mornings, it always feels like the wheels are falling off." And sure enough, this morning, the wheels literally were falling off before it was time to come preach. Well, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. Several months ago, Andy asked me if I would preach on the pastor's marriage, and as I was putting together this sermon, I was specifically thinking about how to address the pastors, you know, the husbands in these relationships that would be here. And I'm really glad to see that there are many wives here, because marriages concern more than one person. It takes two people to have a healthy marriage. And so I want to just kind of clarify the angle that I'm going to take this afternoon. So ladies, I'm going to be preaching to your husbands about you, because that's what Peter does in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He speaks to husbands about their wives. But my goal this afternoon is your encouragement, ladies, and your honor in Jesus Christ. One other thing, though, to notice is that the cool thing about what we're going to learn about our ladies today is that these truths are not true of them simply because they're married. They're true of every sister that we have in Christ Jesus. And so the things that we hear ought to be edifying, whether you're here today as a man who's trying to care for your wife, or a man who's just trying to care and honor the sisters that you have in the church, or whether you are a sister, whether you're married or unmarried, these truths are going to apply to all of you. Isn't that amazing? That's the way the Bible works. No matter what passage we turn to, it has something to speak to us, no matter where we find ourselves in our circumstances. So I'd like to pray before we turn to God's Word. Let's do that. God, I pray that you would humble me under your word, that you would open our eyes to see the beauty of the gospel that you are acting out in the lives of our wives and sisters. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've turned to 1 Peter chapter 3, let's read verse 7 together. "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, this is a really brief instruction, one verse from Peter here. And to be honest, I think that Peter actually assumes a lot when he simply writes to us. He says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." In an understanding way. What does that even mean? What is it that we need to understand? If you were to look at it in the King James Version, it gives a little bit better rendering. It says, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." Well, what is this knowledge that we need to grasp in order to dwell properly with our wives? There's something that is necessary. Some kind of knowledge and understanding that we as husbands need to grasp about our wives in order to be able to live and dwell with them in a way that pleases the Lord. So the question is, what is this knowledge? And in chapter 3, verse 7, Peter doesn't tell us that knowledge. He assumes it. Because what Peter is assuming is that we have read the first half of his letter. That we've read 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 and into 3. And so I want you to turn with me. You may not even have to turn. Just look on the opposite page, 1 Peter chapter 1. And as you do, men, I want to put a finger on something that I think happens in our lives sometimes. We think 1 Peter chapter 3, that's a chapter about women. That's a chapter for wives. But sometimes, even by accident, we can fall into this pattern of thinking, 1 Peter chapter 3, that's the only thing in 1 Peter that's written about and for our wives. Brothers, if we're going to live with our wives in an understanding way, if we're going to attain this knowledge that is necessary for us in our marriages, we have to rediscover the fact that all of 1 Peter is written about our wives. In 1 Peter, all of the yous are y'alls. You guys tracking with me on that? All of the yous are y'alls. But so often, men, how many times do we read? You've probably read 1 Peter dozens of times. And every time you read you throughout the letter, we assume you means me. So maybe for the first time, I want to encourage us men to go back to the beginning of 1 Peter. And every time that we read about you, we think, this is not only speaking about me, but this is speaking about her. So let's start 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. This afternoon's outline is going to be so simple, you're going to wonder why the Emmanuel Network paid me $15,000 to come and speak this afternoon. Three very simple things that 1 Peter chapter 1 is going to show us about our wives. All right, number one, she calls God Father. She calls God Father. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 tells us that God the Father foreknew her. And then in verse 3, it characterizes this foreknowledge as being according to his great mercy. This merciful foreknowledge of the Father. In other words, God the Father, before the dawn of creation, chose her out. And he considered her frame, and he put his finger on her name, and he said, this one I want you to write down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want you to set her aside, not as a vessel of wrath. No. This weak, fragile vessel, I am going to pour my overflowing, abundant, steadfast mercy and love into her. And then he steered all of history towards the crucifixion of his son so that he could do that for her. Brothers, if God has elected and foreknown our wives so that he could demonstrate this kind of mercy towards her, how then should we treat her? She is the object of the Father's ceaseless compassion. His mercies are new for her every morning. Are yours? Does she move your heart to mercy and compassion day by day? What is more, Peter says that she calls God Father because God has caused her to be born again. And often in the Bible, this word born again is simply rendered as fathered. It's this word that's used to describe the act by which a father begats a child. God acted in history. He intervened in the timeline of history in your wife's life specifically so that he might cause her to be born again so that he could become her father anew. He took intentional action in her life so that she could become his child, born not of blood, nor of the will of man, but of God. Of what value must this woman be that the infinite God of the heavens and the earth, who created every creature and every mountain and every star and every ocean, that he looked over the sea of lifeless humanity and he reached down and he fished out the dead carcass of this woman who had deserved nothing but the wrath and the divine justice of God, and he looked down upon her carcass laying there on the shore, and he said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes to behold a living hope, born again forever, a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. I can still remember a dozen years ago, sitting across from my soon-to-be future father-in-law at an Eaton Park outside of Pittsburgh, and the trembling as I'm sitting across from him about to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage. How much more fear and trembling ought to fill us, brothers, that we have taken the hand of the daughter of God, the daughter that he interrupted the course of history in order to father her anew, to take her hand as our wife. She calls God Father. And Peter tells us that her Father is guarding her. Listen to verse 5. It says that she is the kind of woman who by God's power is being guarded through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Peter says anyone or anything who stands between her and the eternal salvation God has prepared for her will be crushed by the mighty hand of God. Faith, like a shield, is day by day protecting her heart, guarding her mind through every trial, through every onslaught of the enemy, through every attempt of Satan, as she trusts in the protective power of God, her Father, to guard her life all the way unto the last day. Brothers, are you encouraging your wives in this faith? Because if you aren't, and heaven forbid that any of us should cause our wives to lose faith, because if we do, we are coming into danger of standing in the way of the omnipotent power of her Father who is guarding her for that eternal salvation that he is holding secure. Because number one, she calls God Father. But there's more. There's more about this woman that you call your wife Not only, number one, does she call God Father, but secondly, she calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. Verse 2 tells us that she was made an elect exile for obedience to Jesus Christ. That means all of her allegiance, her sole obedience, belongs to Jesus Christ as her Lord. The one person that she was recreated, made alive to serve and to worship is the Son of God, who even now is seated at the right hand of God the Father. And that is her purpose, is to obey Jesus Christ as her Lord. Even more than that, think about this. The Lord speaks directly to her. That's what's happening in 1 Peter chapter 3. Turn back there with me to verse 1 of 1 Peter chapter 3 again. It says, "Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands." And then I want you to listen to the immense power that the Lord Jesus bestows upon her. It says, "So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives when they see your respect and pure conduct." There is such power in your wife's obedience to the Lord that without a single word, she can win an unbelieving husband over to the gospel. You know, we love to make a farce out of that quote, "Preach the gospel at all times, if necessary, use words." But Peter says your wife has that power. Her obedience to her Lord is so powerful that she can win even your hard heart over to Jesus Christ without a single word. Brothers, we need to realize that the reason our wives submit to us is not because we are more powerful or more spiritual or more important or more full of integrity or more talented. It's because her Lord Jesus Christ asks her to. When she submits to our sorry, undeserving, brutish, unthankful, sad excuse for a husband selves, she becomes a gospel jewel glittering with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. So she calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. 1 Peter 2 tells us that she has become an elect exile not only for obedience to Jesus Christ, but also for sprinkling with his blood. She was chosen, she was set apart before the dawn of the ages to be completely cleansed through the blood of Jesus, her Savior, shed for her on the cross. All guilt has been erased. There is therefore now no condemnation for her in the presence of God. Blood that speaks a more powerful word than the blood of Abel has been sprinkled on her, giving her confidence to draw near to the throne of grace, giving her the audacity to be able to stand in the presence of the Almighty God. Husbands, all the sins that you think you see in your wife, guess what? They have all been sprinkled away. The accusations that your heart wants to level against her, they have all been erased. The debt that you think she owes you, it has been paid. The blemishes and stains that you see in her are covered by the very righteousness of her Savior, Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God. She has been brought into a house whose doorframe drips with the blood of the Lamb, so that not you, not Satan, not even the death angel himself can enter into that house with any judgment or accusation against her. Because she has been sprinkled clean by the blood of the Lamb. She calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. And so she must put all of her faith in him alone. He is the living hope, men, lest we have any illusions about our great strength and power. She does not put her trust in you to save her, but in the man who has already been crucified and risen for her eternal justification. She waits for the last time when her Savior will return and grant to her the outcome of that faith, the salvation of her soul. She calls God Father. She calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior, but we still have not quite yet fully understood our wives until we know, thirdly, that the Spirit calls her heir. The Spirit calls her heir. Verse 2 tells us that her election was in the sanctification of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has sanctified your wife, has made her holy, has set her apart for the specific purposes of the Holy God. What Peter means is that day by day, just like Haggai, who beautified Esther, the Spirit is grooming and purifying, not with cosmetics, not with braided hair, not with golden jewelry, but with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet Spirit adorning her with good works, so that one day when she is summoned to stand before her king, she won't be granted just half the kingdom, but all of it. Brothers, if God has granted you this kind of a woman to be married to, I can guarantee you one thing. You exist for her sanctification. The Spirit intends to use you to make her ready to inherit the whole earth. So how are you and I encouraging and daily beautifying our wives? Are you washing her with the Word? Are you anointing her day by day with the gospel? Are you inviting her to walk in the good works which God has prepared for the two of you to walk faithfully in them? The Spirit calls her heir, which means there must be an inheritance waiting for her. Verse 3, let me read it to you again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. What Peter says here is that every person who has been born again by the Father is born again a firstborn son. Your wife stands to inherit all things. In chapter 3, he tells us that she is with you a co-heir of the grace of life. And this inheritance does not come by her way of somehow living up to your standards, somehow fulfilling your demands or living up to your expectations. Peter says that the Spirit has been set upon her as a seal, a guarantee that when she arrives before God, she is going to hear the words, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So, brothers, this is the knowledge that we have been lacking. This is the understanding that is so essential for us to grasp in order to live properly with our wives. That she calls God Father. That she calls Jesus Christ Lord and Savior. And that the Holy Spirit calls her heir. So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. That's what he means. You need to know those three things. And I've only got 2 points of application here drawn from this verse, and they're just as mind-numbingly simple as the first 3 points of the sermon. Number one, dwell with your wife in this understanding. Dwell with your wife in this understanding. The sermon that I preached this afternoon is so simple even a baby can remember it. There is no reason why day after day we should not be preaching this sermon to our wives in our homes every time we see her. I haven't told you anything that you didn't already know. You should be preaching this in your home. Honey, can you believe that you call God Father? You should be telling your children the marvelous things about the woman that you are married to. Did you know that your mom is one day going to be the ruler of all creation? You should be singing these truths to her in the kitchen. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet. As the Son of God is stricken, then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet. For the conqueror has risen. We should be whispering these things to her every morning. These are the truths. This is the knowledge that should be filling our homes. What if the diatribes that your wife heard in your home weren't about her shortcomings and her failures, but you were constantly chasing her down to tell her these things? What if you were pulling her aside not to tell her about the load of laundry that she hasn't dealt with or about how your frustrated dinner's late again, but you gently took hold of her in the hallway and you just said, I need to tell you something. God is your Father. Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit has promised that one day you are going to inherit all things. And I cannot believe that I am married to you. Men, when we truly understand our wives in this way, we will finally comprehend why King Solomon says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor with the Lord. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6, I'm not going to read it, but you should. Peter goes on and on about the incredible, priceless woman who glitters with gospel beauty in every facet, who has the power to win men over to Jesus without a single word, who are adorned with an imperishable beauty. And Peter says, if God has been gracious enough to give you one of these women, you have one job, and it's this. Don't you dare break her. Instead, he says, show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Do you want to magnify the gospel in your home, in your marriage, and in your life? Here's your second application. Show honor to your wife. When someone gives you a priceless jewel, your only job is to lift it up so that others can see it shine and glitter in all of its beauty. Do you want to know how you can glorify God? Do you want to know how you can exalt Jesus Christ? Bestow lavish honor upon your wife. Hold her up for all to marvel at the incredible work of God that she is. Look at this woman. She is a child of God. Can you believe it? She is of such value that her Savior and Lord Jesus Christ shed all of his blood on a cross so that he could have her as his possession. And the Holy Spirit says she is going to one day rule as the Queen of heaven and earth. Look at her marvelous Savior. Look at all the fruit of the Spirit that is just pouring out of her life. Love, joy, peace, patience. Oh my goodness, our wives have such supreme patience. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. As we display honor on this woman, we are holding up the beautiful gospel of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Men, live with your wives in this understanding. Show honor to your wives. And marvel at the goodness of the Lord Jesus. Who are we to deserve to have such a child of the Father dwelling under our roofs with us? Who are we to be entrusted with a woman who is purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Who are we to be served by a Spirit-anointed Queen of Heaven? Truly, truly, we have to fall to our knees and cry out. House and wealth are inherited from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord. Let's pray. Father, the truths that we have heard this morning will be true of our wives. They were true of her before we ever came into possession of her, and they will be true of her long after our death. God, we pray that we would live in this understanding. We pray that your gospel would be magnified as we show honor to these beautiful women in our lives. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.